So some of the findings that we had in our report was that 30% of Australian mums are checking their social media accounts more than 10 times every single day. And Facebook is without question her number one favourite account.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jessie Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jessie Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. I'm Dr. Jessie Green, your host, and today we're having a conversation with Katrina McCarter from marketingtomums.com.au. Now, what I didn't realise is that there are about 6 million mums in Australia and they represent the largest and fastest growing consumer group in the country. So it makes sense to be able to understand what it is that, you know, is important to mums so that if you have a business at all, whether it's a dental practice or even otherwise, that you're able to have a conversation with mums in a way that makes sense for them and how to market to them effectively. In this interview, Katrina goes through a whole lot of data. She shares, you know, some insights from the research she's conducted, interviewing over 1,800 mothers across all different strata from the Australian society. And the insights that she shares are profound. And some of the things that I think that people won't realize is that, you know, there are so many different segments in the mother's, you know, I suppose, market group that it's really, really important to understand who it is that you're speaking to, what it is you're trying to communicate, and how to do that in a way that makes sense for mum so that when she makes the decision, as she does for most of the decisions within the household, you know, your business can be front of mind. So Katrina shares a whole lot of interesting and useful practical things that help dental practitioners, you know, engage with mothers in a more meaningful way and attract them as patients to their practice. So I hope you have a really good pen and paper handy. You're going to want to take some notes on this because what Katrina shares, as I said, is immensely practical and I know you'll want to put it into place first thing Monday morning. So without any further ado, here's Katrina McCarter. Katrina McCarter, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. How are you going?
I'm really well, thanks, Jessie, and I'm absolutely delighted to be on the podcast. So, you know, thanks very much for having me along.
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, one of the things I've been doing, you know, in preparation for our chat today is going through, you know, your website, having a look at the stuff I've downloaded, you know, some of your material. And what I really was curious to understand, you know, from the beginning before we kind of get into the marketing to mums, which is obviously Australia's most powerful consumer segment, I wanted just to get a bit of an understanding. How did you kind of get into this space? You know, marketing to mums is a fairly niched kind of area, but it seems to be a really powerful one. What led you to that space?
Yeah, look, really, really interesting. I guess it probably goes back to my early career. I've got 15 years kind of in the sales and marketing space, and I've worked across really diverse kind of industry. So I started in grocery, I went into hardware, and then I went into online. But I was always targeting mum as the purchaser. And after becoming a mum myself for the first time, you know, 14 years ago, I started to really get into the psyche of how she spends her money and how she makes her decisions. So I've always been really fascinated by her purchase decision making. So that's really kind of how I started having an interest in the space. But it probably really solidified for me about 5 years ago. I launched an online shopping website for mums called bubbler.com.au, and that targeted mums 25 to 44 that had kids under 12, and we were helping them find shopping, the best online shopping. And what I found with the clients that would come to me to advertise with me to communicate with these mums is that they really struggled to have a clear understanding of mum and how she actually converted to a sale. And I was gathering so many incredible insights about mums through growing this community. We had 150,000 mums in this community. So wow. I was learning so much about what made them convert and what didn't. And I realized that I guess there was so much more that I could be doing for these clients. And that's really was what encouraged me to launch Marketing to Mums.
Look, I think that's fantastic insight. And one of the things that we've observed is, because obviously your dentists listening to this podcast, we all operate in the healthcare space, typically when there's kids involved, and even husbands, you know, I have to say, even the mums seem to make the healthcare decisions for the whole family. It's not just the kids. Is that something that you've experienced as well in terms of the decision-making, you know, person being mum in the family extends across the whole family, not just to the kids?
Absolutely, without question, Jesse. So look, there are some 6.2 million mums in Australia. Every year we've got 140,000 women becoming first-time mothers. So, you know, it's certainly a growing space. And they control $132 billion in spending in this country every year. So they're incredibly influential. And I guess to put that into some context, if mums were an industry themselves, they'd be our largest contributor to GDP in this country. And we see, you know, traditionally they're thought of as just being in control of the grocery, you know, buying the groceries each week. But mum's buying decision extends, you know, far and wide. She's the key decision maker in the car, you know, in healthcare, as you hear. We've also got a situation where women, mums, are moving into business at significantly higher rates than men. And as a result, we're seeing mums are now in the business of, you know, employing advertising agencies, legal and accounting services. They're buying security systems and signing commercial leases. So her decision-making is very extensive.
It's a massive segment of the market. And I was just thinking, you know, 6 million plus mums in Australia, that's, you know, roughly a quarter of the population. And I'm sure that those numbers extend to other countries in the Western world as well. I'm sure that percentage, yeah, holds true. One of the things you mentioned just in your introduction there was, you know, you built this community of 150,000 plus mums, and you started to understand the psyche of the decision-making process, what was important to mum, what wasn't important to mum. And so I'm guessing, or I'm curious to know, do advertisers traditionally kind of get mum, or has it been a bit hit and miss in the past? What is it that makes mum tick?
Really, it's such a good question. So look, when I first decided that I was going to go and launch marketing to mums, I went and had a look at what was available in terms of research around them. And I couldn't find any data in Australia about what mums thought that market, whether marketers got them or not. So I actually did my own survey, and wow, I was kind of expecting, you know, we might get 400 to 500 respondents, because I was really wanting to look at that exact question that you said. How does mum want to be communicated with? Is the advertising and marketing industry doing it right by mums? And I was absolutely gobsmacked. We actually got over 1,800 Australian mums respond to the survey, and they were just desperate to have a voice. They wanted to be heard. And the key finding that came out of that was that 63%, so almost two out of every three Australian mums, believe that advertisers don't understand them at all. So to me, that represents an enormous opportunity for businesses who can get this right. And that's really the space that I play in. It's about educating businesses and giving them a deeper understanding about mums so that they can create deeper relationships with her. And obviously, the great payoff there is a financial one.
Yeah, huge, huge opportunity. So in your research, and I know that the survey has probably still got a little bit to go, but just in terms of preliminary findings, where is it that people are going wrong in terms of, you know, trying to communicate with mums? Where's the disconnect happening, do you think?
Yeah, look, overwhelmingly, I mean, we found nine key mistakes, but the biggest ones, without question, were stereotyping. Like, that just really irritates her incredibly. That was incredibly vocal. Another one that was really vocal was treating mums like they're all the same. What we find, and it's one of the biggest issues that I see when I work with businesses, is that they'll often put mums in one big homogenous group, and they're all incredibly different. And if you're going to target mums as one big group, you're really not going to connect with her. So I am a massive advocate for niching and really understanding the needs of your mum, because, I mean, for instance, we see a great difference between a millennial mum and a mum who's aged over 35 years. So a millennial mum is far more wanting to be, she's quite playful and she wants to be actively involved in the experience with her child, whereas a mum over 35 is really content to enjoy, you know, if there was a dental experience, for the child to go in and have their teeth cleaned while they sat out in the waiting room and enjoyed a few minutes on their phone. One of the things that I found they got really upset about was treating them like they're stupid. And I think that comes back to particularly areas where mum's not traditionally thought of as the decision maker. So perhaps in automotive, where she might be asked, you know, what colour she might like of the car, rather than sharing the technical information about the motor and things like that. Mum wants to be actively engaged with those negotiations as well.
It's a really important point that you've made there as well, Katrina, because one of the things that, you know, when it comes to marketing that, you know, I'm always talking about is understanding your ideal client, or in our case, ideal patient. And I think, you know, the whole concept of niching and understanding that person is critical. But what I really love that you've commented on there is, again, the danger in assuming that, you know, all mums are cast from the same die, and they're not. You know, different mums have different needs, different expectations, different values, you know, different interests, different concerns. And it's about understanding which segment of the mother's group that you're looking to try and, you know, communicate with.
Yeah, Jesse, I normally recommend that they actually start with a survey, just kind of get to find out some more information about their, I guess, most profitable customer as well. So having a look at some of that demographic information. But one of the key areas that's often missed and having a look at is that soft data that can be found in social media. So if you've got a social media page, have a look at the kind of comments that are and the interactions. It can give you great insight into your customer.
Again, really, really useful information there. So anyone who's listening to the podcast, and we're having a conversation with Katrina McCarter, who is an expert at marketing to mothers. And what we're talking about just at the moment is understanding the type of mum that you're looking to market to and getting some good data around that. So we've already covered some surveys. We've already looked at the concept of soft data and social media profiles. How else, Katrina, could we find out about mum in a way that makes sense for her? You know, so we can talk to her and communicate in a way that, you know, is going to make sense and is going to add value to her as well, not just make sense to her, but add value to her life.
I would have a look at who are your most profitable mum clients and actually even consider having conversations with her about her, what some of her issues are, that the dental issues are, and getting some insights into that, because that's the kind of content that you can then produce and share through your social media, or whether you have a newsletter. That kind of information is going to be valued by her.
And so ultimately understand her concerns, understand her problems, write about that, communicate about that, and then of course publish that content far and wide, so that, you know, as mum reads it, hopefully she's thinking, wow, these guys, you know, completely understand me and get me. They're communicating in a way that makes sense, because hopefully we do after doing that market research. And then when the time comes to make the decision to purchase, you know, there's a front of mind kind of phenomenon that comes into play, and all things being equal, mum will choose that practice over others, yeah?
Absolutely. But one of the other areas that I would say that came out of the research that I can share with you is that the number one thing that influences mum in a purchase decision is testimonials. And this is something that really surprised me, because I had expected that it would be a mum-to-mum recommendation, mums talking within mums. But mum actually wants to see testimonials from other people. She doesn't need to know those people, but she needs to feel that they're authentic and legitimate testimonials. So given that, I would be highly recommending for anyone who has a Facebook page that they turn on their ratings and reviews on their Facebook page, so that mum who might be a prospective client can actually have a look at the Facebook page and read through some of those ratings and reviews when she's making that decision as to whether to come to your dental practice or not. And the other thing that I would say is think about what systems you have in place in your business that encourage people to actually write a testimonial about their experience being with you.
Yeah, so again, for anyone listening, just remember that we operate within the ARPA guidelines of advertising in Australia, at least. And if you're overseas, this may or may be different for you. But in Australia, yeah, testimonials and purported testimonials are something we just need to have a little care with. But certainly there's things you can still do to encourage reviews, whether it's, you know, Google reviews and other things along those lines. But again, just whatever you do, stick within the guidelines there. But
absolutely.
But again, what I really love what you're saying, the big message there, Katrina, is that mums like to have recommendations. What I wanted to just ask you around marketing to mums as well is, you know, obviously you've worked with some businesses who have done it poorly, but I'm sure that you've worked with businesses that have done it well. And apart from getting to know the mum and apart from getting to understand and communicate in a way that makes sense and adds value to her, what other things do you think businesses can and should be doing if they want to engage the mothers really well in terms of marketing?
Without question, you need to have a social media presence. I don't see it as an optional thing anymore. If you're trying to communicate with mothers, it's compulsory. So some of the findings that we had in our report was that 30% of Australian mums are checking their social media accounts more than 10 times every single day. And Facebook is without question her number one favourite account. So I think that developing a relationship with mum is, Facebook is the perfect place to do so. And we know from mums that they want to develop a relationship with you before they'll ever come and transact with you. They really want to know you and what they want to know your values and what you stand for and what's important to you and your business before they actually want to come and experience your service.
So again, that's fantastic. You know, it's that whole zero moment of truth study from Google, isn't it? That 7-Eleven kind of thing where, you know, 7 hours and 11 touch points in theory. You know, so essentially build the relationship prior to them walking through the door. And communicate, as you say, I really love what you've just said. They want to know what you stand for. They want to know what you believe. So it's not just all about, you know, we do the best root canal or we do the best this or we do the best that. It's about this is what we believe. This is our ethos. This is our philosophy. And you know, people buy into that. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And I would say it's really important for the founder of the business to be seen to have a personal brand as well. They need to be quite established and sharing those values really widely. So they need to be the ones that are sharing that information through Facebook and other social media formats because they become the face of the business. That's who mum wants to associate. So she doesn't want to know the business brand. She wants to know the person behind the business. So that's really important.
And do you think, I'm just curious to understand, and this is, I'm trying very hard not to dip into stereotype, and I'm just curious to ask the question nonetheless. Is there any indication in your research that mums prefer to transact with, you know, women or men, or is that irrelevant in the data?
I certainly think that there's clear indications that mums love to support other mums. So if you are a mum-led dental practice, you would be wise to actually use that information and share that as part of your brand story and why you're in business. That would be significantly advantageous.
Great. And the other thing I just wanted to check in around you as well is, you know, we've both been through some similar training and business and the like. Where do you see partnerships having a role in marketing to mums as well? Could you give me just some thoughts around partnerships and how that might engage mums?
Oh, look, I can show you. I can actually probably tell you about in my first business, Bubbler. So partnerships, I believe, are the most effective, low-cost way to grow your business. So with Bubbler, I grew that community of 150,000 mums, and I never spent more than $300 a month on marketing or advertising. And I did that exclusively through marketing partnerships, and they were collaborations working with other businesses. So, for example, I would grow my database list by working with 3 to 4 other businesses that had the same target market as me who weren't in direct competition with me. And we would run a joint competition together to give something away, but it required each entrant to sign up to our respective database. And that gave me an enormous satisfaction because I was able to grow my business alongside other business owners. But you can also use partnerships for other reasons. So when I first launched Bubbler, it was a group buying site for families. And the minute I said that to anyone, they all told me about their horrendous experience they had transacting with some other group buying site. So I knew that it was important that I was seen as credible. And I teamed up with playgroup associations as my partners to co-promote what I was doing. And that also people knew and trusted the playgroup associations because they had been around for so long that there therefore was a degree of trust in transacting with my new business. So there are many different ways that you can use partnerships and collaborations, but I tend to start by thinking about who has the same target market as me but doesn't offer exactly what I do. And I make a full list of all of those businesses. And then I try and see it from their perspective in terms of, well, what is it that they're trying to achieve and how might I be able to assist that? And I will often put together a partnership proposal that would be 3 to 4 pages that might be, will give a little bit of background about my business. It will identify the opportunity in about a paragraph. It will then bullet point a list of things that I can do and a list of things that the potential partner could do. And then I say, you know, let's get started and have my contact details. Now, I use that and approach businesses cold. I don't have to have an existing relationship with the business. And I've had a great success rate with that. It immediately demonstrates that you are a partner-friendly business and that you are thinking about mutually beneficial outcomes. And generally what I find from that document is that there is a conversation around what those specific things are that each party will do, for everyone to see that it's an exchange of equal value, and that normally gets it progressing.
I think partnerships are something that, quite candidly, I don't think the dental market's really embraced as fully as they could. But I had a conversation with someone you know the other day, Callum Lang, about partnerships as well. And you know what you're saying and what he's saying are very similar in the sense that, you know, it's a very, very important and low-cost way to grow your business. And not only that, it's also a really good way to engage with other like-minded people, because there's the fulfillment side that comes from the partnership as well, which you've kind of touched on. But it sounds as though that bubble of business really grew off the back of partnerships. You spent $300 or less each month to grow a community of 150,000. I mean, that's a resounding success in anyone's language. So firstly, congratulations to you. And
in the last 12 months of Bubbler, I didn't spend any money at all on advertising. I just got really serious about those collaborations that I was doing with other businesses.
Yeah, again, I think that's really valuable information. So for anyone listening there, I hope you've actually taken some notes there, because what Katrina's really outlined is essentially the steps, A to Z, on how to create the partnership that can propel your business to full books of mums and families and kids. And ultimately, my experience in our practice is once you've got a mum engaged in your practice, then the rest of the family follows. And equally, once mum's engaged, then it's not unlikely that she'll recommend you to her network of friends as well. And so it's a really effective way to grow your practice, and we're certainly tapped into that as well. I wanted to just quickly explore one or two other things, because I know you've got a really full day, but I wanted to just to ask a quick question from you. Have you seen other businesses, apart from Bubbler, have you seen other businesses do this really well? Can you think of some businesses that have engaged with mums really, really well and have nailed it?
Oh, look, in terms of social media, Kmart do an excellent job of engaging mothers. They are, without question, a really great example. If you're looking at online businesses that cater for mothers that do particularly well, I'm a big fan of Mum Central and What's On For Kids. That's another one that I think engages mothers very, very well, and they should be easy. You should be able to search those quite easily. But they've grown large communities of mothers very quickly, and that's through really engaging content.
Cool. Again, you understanding the avatar. Katrina, I wanted just to wrap up. I know you've got a document about 20 quick wins, and obviously we won't go through all 20 of them. And so I'm going to encourage anyone listening to head across to marketingtomums.com.au and grab this document. It's just worth its weight in gold. It's fantastic. But if you were to kind of give the listeners, two, three or four, however many comes to mind off the top of your head, things that they could do really, really well now to engage mums, what would be your advice if it was on a billboard, A, B and C? What would be the things you'd say to dentists listening to the show now?
Oh, great question. I like that one, Jesse. Look, brand story, without question, is super important. Mum wants to really understand you. So spend some time working out what your story is about, why you're in business. Yeah, so who you are, what you value, why you're in business, and how — this is the part that lots of businesses don't put in — how are you going to make mum's life easier? Without question, I would have a look at that. Second one, I know we've covered already, but have a look at the testimonials, or making sure that you are on social media. The third thing that I would consider, certainly in the dental industry, is have a look at how you might use events within your practice. I know that there's a dental practice in WA that I've watched for a number of years, and I've actually worked with them through Bubbler, where they target mums and their children, and they have Batman Day. So the dentist is actually dressed as a Batman for the day and does all procedures dressed as Batman. So all the kids that like Batman will book in on Batman Day. And there's another day where, you know, it's the Tooth Fairy that they come into. So consider using events and creating some fun and engagement as well, and giving a mum a reason to recommend you to somebody else. So if she knows that, you know, Sarah's child, Bill, is crazy about Batman, you know, it gives her that reason you should go and have a look at this particular practice. So consider using events and creating some fun also with it within your business. They're probably the key things that I would focus on immediately. The last thing that I really would do is I think that everything falls out of understanding that avatar. And with any of my clients, it is the first thing that I do. And I take a long time looking at that, and I do all the primary research, because from there, your marketing strategy will just fall out. It is so, once you have that clear understanding of exactly who it is that you're targeting, it's so much easier to identify what is the best way to engage that particular mother.
I really think you and I are singing from the same hymn sheet on that, because I've just mixed up my words a little bit. But I guess the thing when it comes to marketing as well, Katrina, that's the same thing I say to dentists all the time, is know your avatar. And without that avatar, everything's hit and miss. So I really love the fact that you've, you know, emphasised that point. And I'd say, even if you're not marketing to mums, you know, and maybe mums aren't your avatar, still know your avatar, because it is critical. But in this instance, know the mother that you're trying to target. You know, as we said earlier, that mums are not one homogenous group. So drill down, ask questions, get surveys done, look at the soft data on the Facebook comments, and all the things you've spoken about already, I think, is, you know, really wise.
Yeah, well, Jesse, I just think that you can save yourself so much money if you're making a hit and miss approach because you don't really know in depth about your ideal customer. You're blowing a whole lot of money away that's fairly inefficient. So once you've got that clear understanding and you're starting to target better, your rate of return is just, you know, it's just going to increase significantly.
Exactly, I couldn't agree with you more wholeheartedly. I think that's wonderful advice. Katrina, I just wanted to, as we wrap up, I want to extend just a note of thanks, because I know that, you know, you do this for a living. This is your business. This is what you do. It's what you're expert at. And you've got this massive reputation in the SME and corporate space as being the go-to person for this market. So firstly, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. Secondly, if people wanted to find out more about you, what you do, how would they go about engaging with you in an online kind of way?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse, can I just say it's been an absolute pleasure to come and hang with you this morning. The best way to get in contact with me, firstly, my website, www.marketingtomums.com.au. Otherwise, feel free to email me, Katrina with a K at marketingtomums.com.au.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Katrina. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a terrific day, and look forward to seeing you around the trap soon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Jesse.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.